Hey, Victory family, it's Pastor Josh. Thanks for joining us for this next level training today. We value your time, and the fact that you're listening means you are a learner and have a desire to grow, and that excites us. Before we get into this very important training session, let me tell you the heart behind the message. Number one, this message comes from a heart overflowing with love. Love for God, love for His church, love for the lost, and love for you. Secondly, this message comes directly from God's Word. I laid out for you line upon line. So I want to challenge you, even if you don't like it, ask yourself the question, is this what God's Word says? Because ultimately, that's what's going to produce growth in each of us. This is a topic that many people fear and avoid because they feel like it's disrespectful or somehow hurtful to the Holy Spirit to test and judge anything that is spoken in the name of the Holy Spirit. But the opposite is actually true. The Holy Spirit is the one who instructed us to judge and to test or scrutinize everything that someone claims to be speaking in the name of the Holy Spirit. And we do this not because the Holy Spirit can miss it, but we do it because we're human and we can miss it, sometimes intentionally and many times, most of the time, unintentionally. The greatest warning given in the New Testament to all churches and to the leadership of those churches was to recognize and resist the false prophetic because of the damage it would do. The Bible tells us that in the last days, the false prophetic will be on the rise and it will lead people astray. And so people who claim to speak in the name of the Lord are to be judged, the message they carry. Number three, this message comes from a deep desire to see growth. We desire to see every believer discover, develop, and deploy their gifts for God's glory. The only way that can happen is by exercising them. And so our desire is not to see these things happen less, but to see them happen more. And so this method that you're going to hear today intentionally creates a fail-safe space. Let me say that again. It intentionally creates a fail-safe space for you to use your gift and to grow in it. It's intended to provide a covering. It is not intended to be controlling. And these methods allow Victory Church to keep growing without hindrance or experiencing unnecessary loss. Fourth and finally, today, before we get into the message, you've got to know that this message comes from a deep appreciation for the Church of Jesus Christ. After all, that's what He went to the cross and shed His blood for. And so it's our goal to position Victory Church and all through who walk through our doors to encounter God powerfully and personally, that every person experience the increase that God desires in every area and arena of their life personally and of our lives together corporately as a church, rather than one area growing at the expense of the others. Healthy balance has always been the core of our message. It's the key to life, it's the key to longevity, and most of all. So let's dive right into this next level training session, and I'll be back at the end to wrap things up. Excited to share this with you this morning. I want to say thanks for making this a priority and for being here today for this teaching this morning. It's a critical next step for us as a church as we continue to look for ways to increase our impact and the efficiency. How many of you know when you have lots of moving parts, it's important for them to be synced up together? Somebody just say amen at 8 o'clock in the morning. Just like a well-oiled engine, it's got to run very tight, very efficient to produce the most power. And that's what we're here to do. It's an exciting day for me because my little miracle turned 6 today. So Zoe's birthday today, and so I'm pumped about that. And I've got my mom and her husband here. Thanks so much for sharing this morning with me. If you would just open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Just hold it open there. If you haven't read this chapter, I encourage you to. If you haven't read it in a while, I encourage you to read it in the next 48 hours. This chapter is extremely important. It shows us an inside snapshot of what a spirit-filled, charismatic Pentecostal church service ought to look like from time to time. And that's exactly who we are. That's what we're all about. We are about not only the cross, but Pentecost. Jesus went to the cross to get us to Pentecost, to restore the impartation of the Holy Spirit to our life. Aren't you thankful for that today?
1 Corinthians chapter 14 is a unique chapter because it is tied for third place for the longest chapter in the New Testament. It's a three-way tie, I believe, between this one, which is on tongues, interpretation, and prophecy in a worship setting like we are. Then there's 1 Corinthians 7, which is on marriage. How many of you believe marriage is important? And then there's 1 Corinthians 15, which is on the resurrection. How many of you believe the resurrection is important? Okay, so those three things, marriage, the resurrection, and the order of a church service. That is the overview of 1 Corinthians 14. There is to be an order and a flow in church services. And I'm going to read to you the first five verses. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. When you speak in tongues, who are you talking to? God. For no one understands him. Can somebody else understand you when you speak in tongues? No. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. Very important three things. I encourage you to circle them. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. When you pray in tongues, who does it build up? Not your neighbor. It builds you up. But he who prophesies edifies who? Okay, so when you prophesy, you build up everybody. Verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Most people would stop right there, but you have to keep reading. Unless, we can circle that word, indeed he interprets. Because when you interpret a tongue, then everybody understands, okay? That the church may receive edification. And so there are nine gifts of the Holy Spirit God has given to build up the body of Christ and to win the lost. Nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. We can break them down into three groups of three. Three of revelation, three of power, and three of inspiration. Revelation gifts, God reveals something. Power gift, God does something. Inspirational gifts, God says something. Now this morning, I'm not going to focus on what they are because I've already done that at great length over many times over many years, and you'll find all them online. But today, I'm going to talk more specifically about how we can work together. Now, the gifts are in operation almost every single time we come together at Victory Church. Do y'all realize that? The difference you see here is we do not sensationalize them. And I've seen over the years, and especially with the changes in society, the damage that can do. Based on where we are, the direction God gave me for how to build this church and how to orchestrate a service is highly intentional because there are so many people here that are complete foreigners to this concept. And so we must present it in a way that always lifts Jesus high. But I want to make sure that all of you know there is always room for the Holy Spirit to move. We always make room for the Holy Spirit to move. Our goal is to never in any way or in anything quench, grieve, hurt, or harm the Holy Spirit. We guard him at all cost. The vision of this church has always been inclusive of the Holy Spirit. Our vision is not just to reach our world, but we understand that we reach our world through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's something that is never limited. It's something we always ask, seek, and knock for. I encourage you to go back and listen if you ever wonder where I'm at on these matters or my heart concerning a move of God, revival, outpouring of the Holy Spirit, manifestation, gifts, miracles, all those things. Go back to October 29th, if you're taking notes, October 29th. A message called Shake This House. It was a series called Living on a Prayer last year. And I took the entire morning and I didn't preach. I prayed, if y'all remember. And go back and listen and you will hear the vision of Victory Church. So let's hit a quick definition of these three gifts. The gift of prophecy is spontaneous, spirit-inspired message that flows without human preparation. In other words, God downloads it to you. Then there's different kinds of tongues. It's the ability to speak by the Holy Spirit in an unknown language that you've never learned. Then there's the interpretation of tongues, which is a companion gift to tongues. And it is the ability to declare by the Holy Spirit what the message in tongues meant. So a message in tongues is like a nickel. The interpretation of tongues is like another nickel. And prophecy is like a dime. What is a nickel plus a nickel? A dime. So prophecy gets us there all in one gift. Tongues plus interpretation get us to the same place. And that's why Paul preferred prophecy. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 17, one of my favorites, said, it'll come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. How many of you have flesh? And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Amen. So let me ask you this question. How many of you in this room have ever operated in the gift of prophecy, tongues, or the interpretation of tongues? Just raise your hand. Excellent. One, two. Hold on. Keep your hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. Lee, Miss Sandy, Joe, have either of you ever operated in tongues, interpretation, or prophecy? 27. Bob, tongues, interpretation, or prophecy. Have you ever done one? 28. Okay? We got 28 people at 8:08 on a Sunday morning before church even started. And this ain't all of them. So when y'all think you're the only one here, there's nobody else here, nobody here understands these things, you're wrong. Amen? Can we give God praise that we are a Pentecostal church? Now, the purpose of Pentecost is always to win the lost. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses unto me. These gifts empower us to witness in an even greater level. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40 says this. He says, let all things be done, what's that word? Decently and in order. So let me help you with some things so that you understand my job. I want to explain the role and the responsibility of a pastor. Okay, Proverbs 4:7 says, in all you're getting, get understanding. So I want to help you understand my office, the gift I stand in, and why I'm here. There are five New Testament ministry gifts or offices in the church. They are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Right? Okay, the pastoral office is the one that directly oversees the ministry in the local church and officiates the services. There are multiple names you will see interchanged for that office in the New Testament. Shepherd, overseer, bishop, or elder of the church. That's why we're very cautious who we call elders. The term elder refers to who the man is. In other words, his identity is a mature believer. The term overseer refers to what he does. He's a manager. The term pastor refers to his heart as he does the job. His character is that he is a shepherd. The greatest defining mark of a true shepherd of God or a pastor's heart is their love for people. How many of y'all know your love today? Amen. And their desire to teach God's people how to live in his ways. Now, here's what is important for you to grasp. More instruction is given to this office than any other office in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the Apostle Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. Timothy is pastoring at Ephesus. Ephesus was somewhere between 20 and 22,000 believers in this church 2,000 years ago. And Paul tells him, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. There's a saying I love to use, as a pastor goes, so goes the church. So Paul is telling him there is a way for you to conduct yourself. There is a way for things to be done, which means there is a way for things not to be done, and there is conduct that shouldn't be done. There is a reason why there is order in this house, why there is peace in this house, and why this place is a sanctuary. Why when people come in, they experience the manifest presence and power of God. It's because it is designed by God's blueprint. And we follow the New Testament. I've told you, anything you see in the New Testament, in this book, we're going to let happen in this room. But if it's not in this book, we'll stop it. And that gives people a lot of peace. Now, as a pastor, I have a responsibility to guard and to guide what happens when we come together. Again, the pastoral office is a calling. It chose me. I don't choose it. There are abilities and gifts that God equips his ministers with who stand in this office so that they can serve effectively. Now, every time there is a word in service, I know it ahead of time. I know it's coming. 99.9% of the time, I actually know when it's going to happen. And many times I will sit there in my spirit and count it down. 3, 2, 1. So, my point to you is if you're going to operate in one of these three gifts during a service that stops the service and draws attention, then be mature enough to understand my job and let me do that as the overseer. You've got to understand that we are both following the same Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? There aren't different Holy Spirits. He's got one message with many voices. Okay. One of my responsibilities is to judge. Somebody say judge. We don't like that word, but that's what the Bible says. To judge every utterance in this room that affects the entire congregation. Because God has put me here as the gatekeeper. I guard the voices spoken in this room very carefully. If you want to call that controlling, fine. I call it being a good shepherd. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29 says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. What's that last word? Judge. That word literally in the Greek means to separate thoroughly. So anything being said, I'm separating it and I'm discerning it. It means to withdraw from. There are times to pull back from something said, even if it's said in the name of the Lord, even if it starts with thus saith God, even if it starts with Shandai. Okay, it's still my responsibility to do this. It means to discriminate, which means to choose one and discard another. It can even mean to oppose. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, Paul again shows us two fascinating small sentences that he connects together, two thoughts. These are two sides of the same coin. He says in verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. In other words, it literally means don't take a wet blanket and throw it over a hot fire, okay? Don't put out the Holy Spirit's fire. Now, there's a couple ways we can do that. We can do that by underreaction, or we can do that by overreaction. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 20, do not despise prophecies. These two things go together. And we see these in modern day Pentecostal charismatic churches. And I will tell you right now, there are very few things that are more divisive and have done more damage than the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's unfortunate because that was never God's plan or God's desire. Amen? And so what you have is you have people who quench the Holy Spirit by misusing their gift. And then on the other side of the aisle, you've got people who begin to despise prophecy because they see the damage that it does and they see the price that the kingdom has to pay for it, and they throw the baby out with the bathwater. And neither one of those positions are right. We have to do both. Don't quench the Holy Spirit by misusing your gift, and don't despise prophecies. Make sense? And then the very next thing he says is test, which means to examine or to discern all things. He's talking about what's being said and done in a church service. Test all things, examine those things, sort through them, and discern what's good. And he says, hang on to what's good and throw away everything that's evil. And so today, I want to give you the answers to the test because I want all of you to pass. I want all of you to prophesy. I want all of you to be used powerful. Amen? We're not here to limit anybody. We want everybody to maximize their gift for the glory of God. And the Bible says all of us should desire to prophesy because of its impact and its power. Moses looked forward to the day this would actually happen. So, this is my responsibility. I'm going to give you the answers so you can pass the test every single time. Are you ready, class? All right, here we go. Number one, and we're going to blaze through these. Number one thing I'm asking, and the number one test is, does it bear witness with my spirit? That's very important. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Every single time this happens, I have a red light, a green light, or a yellow light in my spirit. It means this is not God, this is God all the way, or be cautious. Every single time, 99% of the time to this point for 13 years in Victory Church, I have let messages go that were yellow lights because I wanted the person to grow in their gift. One time in the history of this church, have we ever stopped something, was when we were at the school and a lady came and brought a message of judgment, and she brought one of them big tape recorders to record her own message, and she just lambasted the congregation. We shut that down and just put an end to that real quick. However, as a church, we are growing. Victory Church is 13, Anna's 13. So Anna's not fully mature, neither are we as a church yet. This is another stage of growth in the cycle. Number two, does it pass the purpose of prophecy test? Does it pass the purpose of prophecy test? And here's what it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. He who speaks in a tongue, he who prophesies, speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Three reasons or purposes for prophecy or interpretation plus tongues. They all have to pass this. Edification, which means to build up. Exhortation means to stir up. And comfort means to cheer up. It is not corrective and it is not directive. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Number three, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because it's obvious and we've done this before, is does it agree with the Word of God? If anything in it does not agree with this book, I'll shut it down. Because it's not God. Praise God. Number four, does it exalt and glorify Jesus Christ? This is very important. John chapter 16, verse 14, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit, that he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and he will declare it to you. So any message in tongues and interpretation or prophecy should always glorify Jesus. It should be Christ-centered. Revelation 19, 10, very important scripture for this topic. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It should be Jesus-centered. Now, let me go a step farther there. It must also be New Covenant-centered. It should point us back to the blessings and benefits of being a part of the New Covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a rehash of Zephaniah 2.0. Very important. Number five, is it easily understood? 1 Corinthians 14, 9. Now, this is going through my mind in a matter of seconds. Number five, is it easily understood? 1 Corinthians 14, 9, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? So here's what you need to know. If the Holy Spirit is going to stop everything to speak, then everybody listening is going to understand it. Just smile and nod at me. If the Holy Spirit is going to stop everything and speak, then everyone listening is going to understand it. Verse 9 bears that out. If the interpretation needs an explanation because it was too deep, then it wasn't God. Everyone will get it. These gifts are also not used to stop a service to reach one person. They're always to stop things because God wants to speak to everyone in the room. And this is an excuse sometimes used for messages that are off and it just kills the service. And they're like, well, God was looking for someone. No. When these gifts are used, it's for everyone. If you look down at verse 4 and 5 again, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies who? The church. Everybody needs to get it. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive what? That all the church, that's the ecclesia, the group of us. Number six, I'm looking for, does it fit and does it flow in the service? 1 Corinthians 14, 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Decently and in order. The word order there is the Greek word taxi. It's where we get taxonomy order. And here's what it means. It means regular arrangement. It means a fixed succession. It means there should be an order and a flow and an arrangement and a fixed succession in our services. It means to arrange in an orderly manner. Things are to be set in order in an orderly manner. Now, let me tell you, the same Holy Spirit who tells one of us to open our mouth will tell everyone else involved to close theirs. Make sense? Same Holy Spirit who tells one of us to open our mouth, we'll tell everyone else to close theirs, whether that's Marsha or John or me. All of us will know, and we will make room for the Holy Spirit to speak. So what's amazing about these gifts is they're inspired not only in utterance, but in orchestration, and it's a beautiful miracle. We even see that on the day of Pentecost. Now, the worship team's job is to lead us from outer court to inner court to Holy of Holies. There is always a progression in our praise and worship sets, and the message is always connected. And so they are there to lead us into the still waters of Psalm 23. How many of you know we live chaotic lives? How many of you know most people don't take time to be quiet before God every single week? This creates an opportunity for that to happen. And when we get in front of still waters do something that rough waters don't. Still waters become like glass. They're a mirror. There is a reflection. There is the ability to see something in them. And that is the time that God will reveal himself to us and in us. And as a church, we are commanded at times and seasons to wait upon the Lord. Now, you can't do that if every time there's 2 seconds of silence, somebody that's full of the Holy Spirit goes off. It interrupts and stirs the waters up. And so we try cramming too many things in too small of a space, and it doesn't accomplish what God desires. The seventh one is, does it inject fresh life into a meeting? If the prophecy or the tongues and interpretation kills the worship and the intensity of the service, it didn't come from God. It should take things to another level. So the timing has to be right and the word has to be right. And when it is, both of those things together will glorify Jesus and lift the meeting to another level. The acid test on whether we are operating in these gifts the correct way is seen in 1 Corinthians 14:23 through 25. He says, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Verse 24, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Do you see then that it takes the entire service to a whole nother level? It convinces people of the things of God. It convicts them of the things of God, which means God begins to cut the bad out and put the good on the inside. It takes it to another place. They fall down and they begin to worship. Falling down is a sign also of repentance. And then when they leave, they become powerful witnesses and tell other people that God is in our midst. Does that make sense? So the Holy Spirit never misses it. People do. Unfortunately, somebody has to pay the price when that happens. And I'll tell you who it is. It's always the immature, unbelievers, or the uninformed. If it was shaking the rafters and tumors are falling off, I really don't care what it looks like. But when that's not happening and it's just costing us lives in the kingdom of God, then we have to begin to make changes. And as a pastor, that's where my heart goes. And y'all know I have the heart of an evangelist. And we are here to win the lost and absolutely present Jesus in the best light possible. If you believe it, would you say amen? Number eight, do I know this person? 1 Thessalonians 5:12, know them that labor among you. And so here's what you need to know there. Is the spirit and character of the person speaking in alignment with the heart of the house? If you operate in one of these three gifts, it's essential that you make sure that there are no blockages in your life between us. Because this is spirit-to-spirit communication. This is spirit-to-spirit. This is not intellect-to-intellect. So if you see yourself as an enemy of the house, if you see yourself as an outsider, if you see yourself as carrying an offense in some way, then that is going to come through in your message. Because this is spirit-to-spirit communication. Just like when you drink a water out of a water hose, it takes on the flavor of the hose, right? You're the conduit that it flows through. And so that's why it's critical. If you operate in one of these gifts, you make sure that you stay clean in where you stand, not only with the house, but with me. And that if you're carrying an offense, that you take care of that because you don't want to re-communicate that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29 says, let two or three people prophesy and let the others evaluate what is said. So we should always be evaluating what is being said through these gifts. But if someone is prophesying and another person receives a revelation from the Lord, the one who is speaking must stop. So there's order. Verse 31, in this way, all who prophesy will have a turn to speak, one after another, so that everyone will learn and be encouraged. Verse 32, remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. Verse 33. In other words, you can control when it happens. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the meetings of God's holy people. And so you choose not only when you give a message, but how you're going to give it. And so here's what I want to do. I want to give you some new options that are going to increase our effectiveness in the operation of these gifts and our impact. Here they go. Three ways to increase our impact and effectiveness. Number one, you've got to understand the atmosphere is a believer's meeting. If you have a word in atmosphere, give it. Open your mouth and give it. It does not change anything because there are less people here. You are declaring that word over the atmosphere of this house, over the morning, and over every person who comes through these doors. This is a great test track to begin learning how to use your gifts, because in this room, it won't do any damage. Amen? And so you are free to use those gifts in this room. Number two, if you have a word from God, write it down. It's no less anointed. Write it down. Number three, if you have a word from God during worship, come to me. Come to me. And this happens regularly. Many of you do this. Come to me, and here's what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to say, well, what's the word? And that's going to help you process it, because you're going to hear yourself say it out loud. And these gifts typically begin with a word or a phrase that once you declare it, the Holy Spirit gives you what's next. And what we will do is I will make room for that word if I deem that it's of God for that morning. And I will give you the mic, and everyone in the room will be able to hear. Because no matter how loud you shout, if we're in the middle of a service, the people up in the balcony can't hear you. The people under the balcony back in that corner can't hear you. I remember Brad did this a few weeks ago, and he came over and said, Pastor, I believe I have a word on a Sunday morning. And I said, give me just a minute. After I asked him what it was and I made room for it, Brad gave that word on the mic. I hit the platform and I said one word out of my mouth, and you guys ripped the roof off this room. That's the response that ought to happen whenever we have a word from God delivered to us. There's going to be a positive effect upon the room. Now, sometimes it may not be rejoicing. It might be weeping. It might be people across the room, and God's doing something very deep on the inside of their heart. But what this will do is by coming to me, it will give the worship team the ability to take us to the still waters. And now there won't be competing gifts, and that will eliminate the anxiety that is being created, because we won't be trying to cram too many things into too small of a space. Does that make sense to everybody? Yes. See, things are to be done decently and in order. And that's what we're here to do, is establish a flow to the service. Now, there may be times I say, do me a favor, sister, hold that word, or declare that into the atmosphere, or not right now. And you have to be mature enough to say, you know what? I trust my pastor. God set him here. God sent me to this house. He has a proven track record of hearing from God. And be mature enough to not be offended and understand that there are more in play than just what you have going on. But you don't have to muscle in, because what happens many times is we feel like we're pregnant with a word and we're looking for a place to deliver. Okay? And one of the other things you can do is, if you feel that way, begin to pray about it. Grace Hill, who operates in these gifts from time to time, every time she has a word, every single time, without fail, she has a word, and she can't get it in, she begins to pray for me or Marcia, and without fail, it comes out in that service every single time. And so our job is to maintain the order of the service so that everything is done decently and in order for every unbeliever, for every new believer, and for every young believer. The Holy Spirit will always defer to the youngest, most fragile in the room. And he is a gentleman, and he will never override or push people out of the way so that he can accomplish what he desires. Amen? Amen. And so I want to encourage you, don't be afraid to use your gifts. And you'll see them happen more, but let's use them in this way. And it's going to help everything live inside of the space it's given. You have to create room for things to live and be celebrated and be highlighted. And so that's what we want to do. I hope this helps you, and I encourage you to continue using your gifts for God's glory. Would you stand with me this morning? Did you learn anything? Amen. If you did, would you just give Jesus praise? Amen. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' mighty name, and we thank you, Lord, that you are in this house. Lord, it is our deepest desire that you would move mightily, that people would not put their faith in the power of just words, but God, that they would experience the demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. God, we ask that you would saturate every word, every one of us speak today with the anointing. We pray that all of us would prophesy, that we would speak to the specifics that are going on in people's lives with pinpoint accuracy at the direction of your Holy Spirit. I pray today for those coming in with questions that they would find answers, those coming in with problems that they would find solutions, and that every person in this place see Jesus lifted high. Hide us behind the cross. And Father, this day in Jesus' mighty name, we ask that you would be glorified. And if there's anyone here that does not know your Son as their Savior, we claim their soul for the kingdom and we call them in Jesus' mighty name. Anoint each and every one of us to be effective and to excel at everything you call us to do. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' holy name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I love you. God bless you.
So to recap quickly, this message comes from a place of love. It's built on and by God's design and a deep desire to see Victory Church grow. We want these gifts to increase, not to decrease. So let's go back over our points. Number one, does it bear witness? Number two, does it pass the purpose of prophecy test, with it, which is edification, exhortation, and comfort, to build up, stir up, and cheer up? Number three, does it line up with the Word of God? Number four, does it exalt and glorify Jesus Christ? Number five, is the message easily understood? Number six, does it fit and flow into the service? Number seven, does it inject fresh life into the service? And number eight, do we know who this person who's speaking is? And do we know where they stand with the ministry of Victory Church? Because the intention of these gifts is to be a blessing to the church. And that can't happen if an individual has decided that they stand against us. So we've given you three ways that you can use prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. Not three ways you can't, but three ways you can. Here's what they were. Number one, let's use the atmosphere service every Sunday at 8 o'clock because this is a believer's meeting where we can take greater risks. Let's use this time as a test track to develop your gift. It'll help you gain confidence and remember that we are here to help you, not hurt you. We want you to grow. We don't want to hold you back. Number two, write it down and bring that word to me if you have one. It's powerful. It also helps us to re-communicate it. Don't forget that the most inspired prophecy we have of all is the Bible, and God gave it to us in writing. Number three, if you have a word from the Lord during a worship service, either on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night, the only thing we've changed is come to me so that we can make room for the word to be heard. And you'll be able to use the microphone so that everyone in the room can be blessed and be in and be a part of it. Nobody feels left out. At the same time, this gives our worship team the freedom to finish what God has called them to do that morning as they lead us into the still waters of revelation. And we can have extended periods of peace and of silence waiting before the Lord in the beauty of His presence. One thing I want to make sure every person understands is that we will never outgrow the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are completely dependent on Him. We will never outgrow prophecy. We will never outgrow tongues, and we will never outgrow interpretation. They are a part of my life every single day. They are a part of what got me to where I am today. They are a part of who I am, and they will always be essential to me and to Victory Church. Most of all, don't forget that the greatest proof the Holy Spirit is moving among us is that people are coming to Christ. And they're growing in their walk with Him. I love you. You are valued. You are an important part of God's plan to reach our region for Jesus. And I'm excited to grow together with you as we run after Him.